Welcome back to our Shir in Lekutei Tiches. We are beginning a new volume of Lekutei Tiches, volume 19, Chelek Yutet on Devorim. In this Shir, we will learn together the first Sticha for Parshas Devorim, which is based on a Rashi, but it's wide ranging, and the Rebbe spent most of the Sticha discussing an idea concerning Matan Torah, which is resolved by means of this Rashi. A few words of background. Number one, there apparently were three ways in which Bnei Yisrael could get from Mitzrayim to the edge of the Yarden, the Jordan River, from which to cross into Eretz Yisrael. One was the actual route that they took, which was 40 years' journey through the desert, and much of it was spent going round the land of Edom, round the mountain of Seir. The normal way was 11 days' journey from Har Sinai to Kodesh Barnea, which was the jumping off point for getting to the edge of the Yarden. Three, the way in which they were meant to go, miraculously, in which they covered the distance in a matter of 3 days from Choirev, from Har Sinai to Kodesh Barnea. Instead of the normal 11, they covered it in three. So what are these three different routes? The long one was the one which they were forced to take because they sinned against Hashem in complaining that Hashem had taken them out of Mitzrayim to die in the desert at the hands of these powerful kings in Eretz Yisrael, then Eretz Canaan. And because of that, Hashem said they must spend 40 years in the desert, and the next generation only would be the ones to enter Eretz Yisrael. That's what actually happened. Had it not been that way, had they done the normal route, then they would have taken the route of 11 days from Sinai to Kodesh Barnea. That would have been the normal one. In fact, being guided by Hashem miraculously in order to get them to Eretz Yisrael more quickly, so they traveled that distance in 3 days instead of 11 days. In our parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu mentions that it was 11 days' journey from Choirev, from Sinai, to Kodesh Barnea. That's all he mentions. Rashi fills in, saying that what Moshe Rabbeinu meant to say by those words is that it should actually have taken 11 days, but as a matter of fact, it took them only three because Hashem hastened them so that they would get to Eretz Yisrael more quickly. Now, the Rebbe, in the course of this sticha, will show that it was either or. If they were privileged and they deserved to be led miraculously by Hashem, then they would have taken the three-day route. And the rest of the way would also have been miraculous. If they're not zoiche, if they're not deserving, then they took the longer route, the 40-year route. Either way, they would not have done the normal 11-day route from Choyriv to Kodesh Barnea because they were in a situation where they were either above the natural, with Hashem guiding them miraculously, so they would be far faster than the norm, or they would take a lot longer than the norm in order for that generation to pass on and the next generation to arise and be ready to enter the land 40 years later. That introduction number one. Introduction number two. We know that from Pesach, specifically from the second day of Pesach, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Omer offering was brought. The Omer offering was a flour offering made from the new crop of grain, which is harvested Pesach time, and that is the barley crop. That offer, that the Omer, that offer the second day of Pesach, which in Eretz Yisrael is Chol HaMoed, the day after the first day Pesach. And from then we count 49 days. The 50th day is Yom HaBikurim, the day of the first fruits, when there was an offering of grain from the new wheat crop. The wheat crop is a much more superior kind of crop. The barley crop was usually given as animal fodder. The wheat crop was made into human food. It's a much superior product. It takes a longer time to mature. So it matures 50 days later, and on Shavuot, that's the time of the wheat harvest and the offering brought on Shavuos of Shtei Halechem, two loaves, is brought from the flour mill, from the grain harvested of the new wheat crop. Now, Torah does not tell us exactly which date in the calendar Shavuos must occur. Shavuos occurs on day 50. But what's the starting point? Day 50 from when? So what the Pasuk tells us is, Usefartem lochem mimochras ha-shabbos. You shall count from the day following the rest day. 49 days, and then the 50th shall be Shavuos. Okay. But what is the meaning precisely of that you shall count from the day following the rest day? So, Chachomim, and so was tradition all along, understood that this meant the day following the rest day, the festival of Pesach. So there's the festival of Pesach, the first day of Pesach, and thereafter we have the count of 49 days and the 50th is Shavuos. But because Torah uses the word Mimocharas HaShabbos, there were those who rejected the interpretation of our Chachomim. They generally didn't believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. They didn't accept the authority of the Chachomim, and therefore they understood the word Mimocharas HaShabbos from the day following the rest day as Sunday. It's the day after Shabbos. So in their view, you always started the count on the first day of the week, Sunday, and the 49th day was Shabbos. And the 50th day would always be again a Sunday. Now, there were several groups, several sects, particularly in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, who maintained this view. There were Tzedukim, followers of Tzodok, and there were Baisusim, followers of Baisus. Both in their individual ways repudiated the authority of Torah Shebaal Peh and allegedly they followed the Torah Shebikstav only. Now we find many discussions in the Gemara recording discussions between Chachomim and their adversaries, the Tzedukim and the Baisustim, who at different times during the period of the second Beis Hamikdash, they had power and they wanted to thwart the wishes of the Chachomim and arrange it so that Shavuot should come out on a Sunday. So when the Tzedukim held sway, they just rejected the words of the Chachomim and they began the count on the Sunday after Pesach. When the Baisustim had their power, they looked to undermine their count. And they put people on the roads to falsely declare that the Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the new moon of Nisan, was seen on a Friday night. So what if the moon was seen Friday night? Then Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos. Then the 15th of Nisan, which is the first day of Pesach, is Shabbos. So the following day is Sunday, as they wanted it to be, that the count, which begins the day after Pesach, would in fact coincide with the day after Shabbos, Saturday. So if the count would begin on Sunday, as they wanted. So what did they do? They planted people to misrepresent to the Sanhedrin the true time of the sighting of the new moon. In those days, they didn't follow the calendar, but Rosh Chodesh was fixed according to witnesses who said they came to the Sanhedrin and they declared that they saw the new moon. So it was all up to their sighting. So if they could get false witnesses to state that they saw the new moon on a Friday night, it would work out that Pesach would be on a Shabbos and the count would begin on a Sunday as they desired. Now, part of the discussion between the Chachomim and the Baisustim is recorded in the Gemara Menoches. In the Mestechta Menoches, which means flower offerings, it talks about the Omer and about the counting of the Omer from Pesach to Shavuot. And in the course of that discussion, the Gemara also records the arguments back and forth between the Chachomim and the Baisustim, which the Sicha will discuss. So those are the two points of introduction. One, about the way B'nai Yisrael traveled through the desert, whether miraculously or amazingly long, much, 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 much longer than it ought to have taken. That's point number one. Point number two is the argument between the Chachomim and the Baisustim, whether Sefirah So'omer always begins on a Sunday. And now for the Sticha. As I said, the Sticha is based on the Rashi, which comments on the Pasuk at the beginning of our Parsha, where Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to B'nai Yisrael. Long speech, it took 40 days. And they begin saying, Ela Advarim, these are the words which Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to B'nai Yisrael. They were words of rebuke, telling them to remember what they had, the sin that they had committed, and that they therefore should not go back to them. And he rebukes them by way of allusions and hints to the sins that they did, so as not to embarrass them and humiliate them. And in the introduction to that rebuke, these are the words which Moshe Rabbeinu spoke at the edge of the Yarden. 11 days' journey from Choire, from Sinai, to Kodesh Barnea by way of Har Seir. So Rashi comments on that postek and says that what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying with those words is he's telling the people, look what you have caused by your sins. There's no shorter route from Sinai to Kodesh Barnea than by way of Mount Seir. That is an 11-day journey. And even that, you didn't have to journey the full time, but Hashem hastened your journey so that you did it in 3 days. As Rashi makes the calculation that they traveled one day from here to here and another day from here to there, etc. So it took 3 days. So imagine how quickly you could have been in Eretz Yisrael. But because you sinned, therefore, it took 40 years instead of a matter of days. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them. Now, in actual fact, what Moshe Rabbeinu said is that it's an 11-day journey from Har Sinai to Kodesh Barnea. Rashi brings out that it actually took 3 days. Now, so we need to understand, if Moshe Rabbeinu is rebuking the people that because of their sin it took much longer, it didn't take much longer only than the 3-day journey, which Hashem took them miraculously from one place to the other. It took even much, much, much longer than the normal 11-day route, which it would have taken without miraculous intervention. It's so much longer because of their sin. So why bring out the fact that it took 3 days instead of 11 days? How is that relevant to Moshe Rabbeinu's rebuke of the people that because of their sin, their journey to Eretz Yisrael took much longer? Therefore, says the Rebbe, we must conclude that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the people as follows. There's no in-between for you. Either when you follow Hashem, he leads you miraculously so that you're able to travel far faster than the normal route, or you rebel against Hashem, chas v'sholem, and then it takes you far longer than the norm. But the norm is not your pace. It's either or. This idea, says the Rebbe, that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them that either they go faster than normal when they're led by Hashem because they follow Hashem's ways, or much slower than normal because they don't, that helps us to understand the puzzling piece of Gemara and the comment of Tosafos on that Gemara in Mesechta de Menachos. Edom and the Baisustim, they were Yidden, these Baisustim, but they rejected Torah Baal Peh. So the Gemara relates that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was arguing with the Baisustim against their policy that Shavuos must always occur achar Shabbos on Sunday. So the Baisusti argued, Moshe Rabbeinu loved Yidden. He knew that Shavuos is one day, and therefore he instituted that it should always follow a Shabbos, so they would have a 2-day rest. The first day, Erev Shavuos, would be Shabbos. The second day would be Shavuos. And in that way, they would have 2 consecutive days to enjoy. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answered him with our posuk. It says that the journey from Har Choirev to Kodesh Barnea was an 11-day journey. In an actual fact, fact, it took nearly 40 years. If Moshe Rabbeinu loved Eden so much, why didn't he take them the shorter route? That is the Rabbi Yochanan Mizdaka's argument. Tosafos on that Gemara explains, why does Rabbi Yochanan Mizdaka prove the point precisely from our pasuk in our parsha that it's an 11-day journey from Chodesh to Kodesh Barnea? Surely there are many, many psukim throughout the several chumashim which teach us that it took 40 years for Yidden to get from Har Sinai to Eretz Yisrael. Why this pasuk? So Tosfos says that based on our pasuk and the Rashi in our pasuk, we understand. How do we understand it better? Because Rashi says that the point of this rebuke of Moshe Rabbeinu was that what could have taken normally 11 days, in fact, took 3 days. So Tosfos is saying that's how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is proving that it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu loved Yidden, therefore he wanted to make it quicker. Not that he could have made it 11 days, but he could have done it in 3. Had he loved Yidden so much that he wanted to make it faster for them. But based on what we learned earlier about the Rashi, we understand there is no such thing as an 11-day journey. 11 is the norm. But Yidden have either above the norm or below the norm. Above the norm, 3 days. Below the norm, 40 years. So what he's saying is that if Moshe Rabbeinu loved Yidden so much that he wanted to hasten their trip, then he could have done it the 3-day route. That's what Tosfos explained. But, said the Rebbe, we still don't understand why it's relevant to the Baisusti. This Baisusti who wants to say that Moshe Rabbeinu loved Yidden and therefore he wants to give them a 2-day consecutive festival. If Rabbi Yochanan Mizdaka wants to refute him, then he doesn't have to refute him by going into the question of 3 days or 11 days. Either way, the point is it didn't have to take 40 years. So we must say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's refutation is indeed from the fact that it took 40 years and not 3 days, meaning not only not the normal 11-day journey, but it didn't take 3 days. Why is that so? Why is that so relevant to the Baisusti that Moshe Rabbeinu did not provide them with a 3-day journey rather than that he did not provide them with an 11-day journey? So this is now going to be the gist of the Sicha. First of all, says the Rebbe, if the Torah records the arguments of the Baisustin, it must be that it's not just nonsense. They had a point, but the point is wrong. And the Chachomim showed how it's wrong. So let's understand what was the Baisusti's point. And then we'll be able to understand how Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai refuted them. And with this, we'll also understand another point. It seems strange. The Baisusti is arguing that Moshe Rabbeinu loved Eden. And what's Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai arguing back? That he didn't love them. He slept them around the desert for 40 years. Bizarre. So we'll understand that too. What's the Baisusti's point? It's pretty clear that based on the psukim, we cannot learn that Tfilas HaOmer always starts on a Sunday. If you're following Chumash, it doesn't work. What was the Baisustis claim that it should be on a Sunday? If we examine the language, we see that he's very precise, that Moshe instituted, not that based on the Torah, it has to be that way, but Moshe instituted that it should always be on a Sunday for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, that they should have 2 days of rest, 2 day festival consecutively. Why is he so interested in seeing that there should be a 2 day festival and the day before Shavuot should be Shabbos? Says the Rebbe, this fits in with the general policy of the Baisustim. Baisustim rejected Torah Shebaal Peh. Why did they reject Torah Shebaal Peh? Because they felt that Torah is something heavenly. It's God-given. It is not for a person to interfere with his logic in formulating what does Torah want and what is Hashem's wish. Hashem gave us a Torah, Torah Shebiktav. It's directly from him. There it's not as important how we interpret and we understand and how we formulate with logical arguments what should be the conclusion. It's straightforward. It comes to us from heaven. It remains heavenly. That's the way Torah should be. In other words, he wanted Torah to remain, so to speak, with his heavenly quality. That's what the Baisusti would want. If so, following that, it should also come out with regard to Sfiras HaOmer, that when we count the 49 days of the Omer, and then we are gifted with the 50th day, 49 days of what we count, that our avoided from below. 50th day, heavenly, Hashem granted to us. So it should follow, according to the reasoning of the Baisustim, that the day which leads into Shavuos should also have a heavenly quality. Yes, it's part of our count. It's day 49 of our account, but nevertheless, it ought to have a more heavenly quality rather than just earthly preparation. What day is it that has that heavenly quality? Shabbos. Therefore, the Baisusti insisted that Moshe Rabbeinu, being that he loves Eden, would institute that the day leading into Shavuos should be a Shabbos day, a heavenly day. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Before we go to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Rebbe points out in a footnote that in fact we find that Moshe Rabbeinu shifted the day of Matan Torah, which is Shavuos, Moshe Rabbeinu shifted it for the benefit of Klal Yisrael by adding 1 day of preparation. If Moshe Rabbeinu intervened in the date, then he would have intervened, by Susti said, he would have intervened to make sure that the Erev Shavuos leading into Shavuos would be a Shabbos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Of course, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai holds that Moshe Rabbeinu was the Oyev Yisrael. Of course, Moshe loved Eden. But what does the love consist of? not adding more heavenly qualities, but adding more earthly. Avoid our contribution to the process. So no, the day before Shavuos is because of our count, not on account of some heavenly intervention by having it on Shabbos. How does the Yochanan Zakkai bring that out? Through our pasuk about the 40-year journey through the desert, what was it that Yidden did for 40 years journeying through the desert? The punishments of Torah are not just payback, penalties. You did this sin, you're going to get that clump. No. When Torah, which is the Torah's chesed, the Torah of kindness, prescribes any kind of punishment, is for the benefit of the person who's being punished. Somehow he comes out better as a result of having gone through this hardship, this penalty. When Hashem says that the people would wander the desert for 40 years, it's not just as a punishment for the fact that they spoke out against the value of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem said, you don't like it? You're not going to have it. No. What happens in those 40 years is that Bnei Yisrael go through all these places in the desert. And on the way, they refine, they elevate everything about those places and everything about themselves too. It's a process of refinement. How? Through their avoid, not coming from Hashem as a gift, but through their self-refinement. Ah, that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answered the Bais Susi. You're telling me that Moshe Rabbeinu loved Eden? If he loved Eden in a way that he wanted things to come from above miraculously, then surely he would have preferred this miraculous journey to Eretz Yisrael, led by Hashem's hand miraculously in 3 days. The upper mode beyond the norm that Hashem would have done for them, he would have interceded that that's the way they should get to Eretz Yisrael. But he didn't. He went with the 40-year journey. Why is that so? Because in the 40-year journey, you have a greater process of self-refinement. Ah, if so, then what is the preparation for Hashem's gift of Torah? Another day of self-refinement. That's what the 49th day of the Omer is. Not a heavenly day, but a day of our preparation. In fact, an earthly day, not necessarily Shabbos. So it follows that the general principle of the Bais Susim, rejecting Torah Shebaal Peh, because it's not as heavenly, and they saw the value of Torah as being heavenly, and their argument that Sefiras Omer, the last day of Sefiras Omer, should be on a Shabbos because it's a heavenly day, it all follows one strand, one pattern, Lishitosom. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, representing Torah Shebaal Peh, who says that the main value of Torah is when we become a partner with Hashem, when we put in our understanding and our discussions, our logic into Torah. That's the greatest gift. Again, it follows one strand with the idea that Moshe Rabbeinu did not want that the day before Shavuot should be a heavenly day. And the basis for that is this one pasuk in our parsha, which is the beginning of all the rebukes of Moshe Rabbeinu. Achados yoimei chayrev, that what would have been an 11-day journey actually took 3 days, but instead of the 3 days which it took from here to there, it took them actually 40 years till they were finally ready to get into Eretz Yisrael because of the value of self-refinement by a person below. And the Rebbe concludes with a brocha that we merit in our preparation for Mashiach to combine the two values. What we have until now is the value of the long route, refinement, preparing from below. The value of the higher route, that it's more heavenly, godly, miraculous, faster, easier. There are also two routes to Mashiach. One is Be'ito, Hashem brings it in his time, whenever that is. And there's also the root of Achishenah, I will hasten it, to Hashem. And there's this pasuk in Yeshaya, where the Navi says, Hashem tells us, Be'ito Achishenah, I will hasten it, the Geula, I will hasten it in its proper time. What do you mean, hasten it in its proper time? So normally we understand that if Yidna Zoichen, then it'll be hastened. If not, Hashem promises one way or the other, the Golus will come to an end, it will be redeemed. But said the Rebbe, through our effort to hasten the Geula, we have both advantages. It can be Achisheno, hastened, and yet it's coming through our effort, which is the advantage of the avodah below and the gift from above, all wrapped up in one. And may that take place, the Rebbe concludes, with the coming complete Geula through Mashiach Tzidkenu speedily in our days.